Thank you, Alice. So, as I mentioned last Saturday night after our Shabbat service, we had our Night of Israel. I'm not going to say anything about it, really. Diana's going to talk about it during the announcements and everything. But I did mention that God commanded Israel to be light to the nations, and I wanted people to understand that, and especially some of our visitors to understand that that the Jewish people of Israel were called to be a light to the nations. And in our opening verses of our Haftarah portion this week, there is this call to tell the nations of the world, and to tell Israel itself, really, how the Gentiles are going to bless Israel. So they're tied in together. Not only is Israel going to be a light to the nations, but also God said that the Gentiles, because of that light that Israel gives to the nations and the understanding of who God is, that one day the nations will actually bless Israel, and we'll be certainly waiting for that time. And it's all tied into the light of the Messiah coming to the nation of Israel. Because, of course, this was prophesied about 700 years before Messiah was born, Yeshua was born. But it's all tied in. The light that the nation of Israel are to give to the nations, and then the light that's going to come to the nation of Israel, the Messiah. So anyway, let's go to that, to the first few verses of our Haftarah portion, and then we'll get on with the message this morning. So actually, Isaiah spoke these words of God and told the nation of Israel, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." And we opened with that song this morning, and I opened it this morning because I wanted to just have a little tie-in with our message this morning. "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will rise above you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your rising." First three verses of our Haftarah portion this morning. And so Yeshua, Messiah, the light, tells his disciples oftentimes that they are to spread the light. Not only the light that God has given them as these Jewish disciples are, but also the light that Messiah, Yeshua, has given them. And so Yeshua tells them that they are to spread that light out, and eventually they will spread it out to not just around Israel, but they'll spread it out to the nations. So let's go Matthew 5:16. So Yeshua said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then Yeshua actually says a few verses before that we are not to hide that light. Let's look at those verses of Matthew 5. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand," actually menorah, "on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your," again, he says, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So he repeats it here two times within three verses. And so we have to sort of take note here. The good works we do are not to build us up. The good works we do are not to show other people how religious we are, how righteous we are, and how moral we are, and how godly we are. Good works are to glorify the Father. When people see our good works, when they see what we're doing, somehow and in some way, and hopefully, they will see, oh, that person is doing that because he loves God. Maybe they'll want to find out why they love God and what's so special about God. So, we do good works to glorify the Father. That is what Yeshua said. We do good works to glorify the Father. And again, and I'm going to repeat this for the zillionth time, we don't do good works to earn our salvation. We don't do good works to get salvation. We do good works to glorify the Father. But we don't do good works. The salvation is a gift. We can't be good enough to earn the gift of salvation for the millionth time. Okay. So if we consider ourselves, all of us, to be disciples or followers of Yeshua, then we should be glorifying the Father. And also, because Yeshua said we are to spread the light, we are to be telling other about Messiah Yeshua. Glorifying the Father, telling people who God is, and telling people specifically who Yeshua, Messiah, the part of that Godhead is. Letting people know about that, spreading that light. And so, with all of this in mind, here's the question this morning. Are we afraid to offend people today? Because offending people is a big word. Are we afraid to offend people today with our faith? So obviously, I'm not talking about offending someone in the body of Messiah, but I'm talking about offending someone that's out there in the world that doesn't really know God and or Messiah. Maybe they think they know, but they don't really know. And so are we afraid to offend those people? None of us like conflict. None of us, although, well, maybe some of us like conflict once in a while. My wife says, I like a good fight. I like a good battle. I like sometimes good conflict. But the thing is, you know what I mean? If our lives were totally consumed with conflict all the time, it would just be too much for us to handle. So the thing is, conflict, you have to choose your battles in life. So if there's something that's going to bring a little conflict into your life, choose them wisely and carefully, okay? But the thing is, conflict on a general basis is not really a good thing for us to have in our lives. But especially in today's world and what's going on today, especially in our country today, there's so much being offended and conflict going on that sometimes a lot of people just want to stick to the things that people are, that we're in agreement, and that's it. It makes life easier, that way we don't have to deal with things. Or at least pretend to. Being in agreement sometimes. Zipping our lips and not doing it. But offense is a big thing today. So I saw this on Facebook the other day, and I said, you know what? Let's give people an idea. This statue offends me, and I want it removed. What is all this offense begun? This stat, you know, we have statues that have been up for 200 years, and now all of a sudden it's offending people. For those that are listening to my message out on the World Wide Web, and maybe if you didn't get it here today, so it is, let me explain it to you, they're getting the audio only. It is a picture of a upright scale that's in the doctor's offices that you stand on, and so it offends all of us. You know, when they bring you in, come on, they bring you in and they say, would you hop up on the scale? You empty all your pocket, everything from your pockets, you take your shoes off, you take it, right? But this is, I think, this is very, very funny. This statue offends me, so I want it. Listen, with our faith, we might offend people. As a matter of fact, with our faith, I know that there are going to be people offended. I know it, and you know it, that people are going to be offended. So sometimes we have to get through that and cut through it and get past it, because if God wants us to speak to people about our faith, if he wants us to glorify the Father, if he wants us to spread the light of Yeshua, then people sometimes we know are going to be offended. And here's the thing. We're asking people to make major changes in their lives by, if we want them to believe even a smattering of what we believe. With some of them, we want them to, it's major changes in their lives. Think about it. We're asking people to admit that they have sin in their lives. That's a big thing for people. If they're going on with their life and they think, you know, I'm a good person, people don't think of the sin issue. Or they need to acknowledge that they need a Savior, that they need to depend on a God in heaven, because people today are self-centered. It's all about them. I can do it myself. I don't need anyone or anything. And if you're a person that believes in evolution, well, then we believe we are at the end of evolution. We have evolved into this great and wonderful human being. Why do we need something like a God or a Messiah? That offends some people, but we need to understand these are the things we want people to at least listen to and maybe ponder a little bit. Let's look at Luke 21, a couple of verses here. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. So he goes from, you know what, you may be betraying, or you would be betraying family and friends. Maybe they're going to get offended. You're going to have to say no to some people in your life. And then he goes from that and he says, you're going to be hated by all people for my sake. Now, obviously, it's by all people. It's going to be all people that are out there that are not part of the body. But he says, Yeshua says, for my name's sake, you are going to be hated. Let's always remember this. Let's keep this in mind. Let's remind ourselves of this. When people come against us, they are coming against Yeshua. They are not coming against us. They are coming against who we love. They are coming against who we have accepted in our lives. They are coming against the cause of the problem, not the effect of the problem. And the cause of the problem is, the greater thing is, the base of it all is that we love God and we love Messiah, and we have accepted God into our lives and Messiah into our lives. And so that is what and who they hate. So he says, they will hate you for my name's sake. So if we can get this in our minds, then it makes it a little bit easier when people, they may say, you've offended me. No, I haven't offended you. The commandments of God, the ways of God and the ways of Messiah are offending you. And that's really what we have to remember, that all the time. So are we offended? Are we afraid of offending even strangers? Certainly strangers, if we feel led somehow to just say something to them, maybe plant a little bit seed here and there. Even family, let's remember, even family and friends, Yeshua said, are going to be into the, it's not just strangers, even family and friends may be in that group. And hopefully no one's going to get killed. Although sometimes they wish you were dead. Right? Even friends and family members may be. They'll say, oh God, I wish they were dead so I don't have to hear that stuff anymore. But Yeshua literally speaks about, and they may put some of you to death. It happened back then. It happened back then. So although today people may not be so quick to kill someone, they may wish you to be dead. They have that much hatred against you. If we realize that we are in the world, but we're not of the world, showing God's love and God's mercy and grace versus, listen to me now, versus legalistic finger pointing. It's a totally different thing here. We get, showing, that's not spreading the light of Yeshua. That's not spreading the light of God by being legalistic and pointing a finger. Being legalistic, that's your works that you think are going to make the Father happy. That's not, God doesn't want you to do those, and they're not good works that even they're spoken of in the scriptures. But those are your works that you think. So being legalistic and finger-pointing to people, that is not showing God's grace and mercy and love. Yeshua said, let them see your good works. That's what he said in Matthew 5. He didn't say, and let them see your bad works. And let's have a lot of finger-pointing. That's not the way that God wants us to do it. It's not the way that Yeshua wants us to do it. And so with those things in mind, it may make it a little easier to sort of check out our own priorities of what we do in our lives and how we relate to other people. So here's the thing. Do we choose comfort over spreading the light of God and Messiah, our Father in heaven and Messiah? Do we choose comfort? And it's comfortable if you don't have people that are coming against you. And it's comfortable if you don't think you're offending someone. And so do we choose comfort over that? Do we choose love and friendship over that? And what I mean is, because we see it too many times today, if people have a choice of being into a relationship with another person, they will choose that love and friendship over God the Father and Messiah. And they will choose that over spreading the light. So if you see someone and maybe you're attracted to that person and you don't think they want to hear about Messiah or God, You know, you don't want to say anything to them because you don't want to offend them. You want to have a relationship with them. But the thing is, your relationship has a foundation of illegitimacy. It has a foundation of untruths. It has a foundation of just keeping away from what the truths are that you know are the truths. And so too many times we choose love and friendship over choosing Yeshua and choosing the Father. We need to understand the love of God in our lives, and the love of Yeshua is greater than any parent, brother, sister, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife can give us. I know sometimes we find it hard to believe, but the greatest love is the love of God and the love of Yeshua in our lives. And we need to understand that. We need to keep our sights on that so that we understand these are the things that that should motivate us in doing what God has commanded us to do, to spread the light and not to be afraid of maybe offending people. You know, if we see a great movie or a great TV show, you know, this happens now. You know, you got with Netflix and Prime, Amazon, you're exposed to new movies and series that are out there. And if you see something that's really, really good, a movie you saw or whatever, don't you want to tell other people about it? I just saw this new movie. It's great. Go see it. I loved it. We loved it. Go and see it. Or if you go to a restaurant and you go in for the first time and you have a good experience and the food is really good, don't you tell other people about it, right? We went to a great restaurant. You might want to try it sometime. Check it out sometime. The food is really good. We do these things in our lives. We do them. We want to share them in our lives. Well, why is it if we have the greatest relationship and experience, we have this wonderful thing called everlasting life through Yeshua, the love of the Father, wouldn't we want to share it? Why do we want to share a movie, but we don't want to share God? You see? Well, maybe we don't think if we said to someone, we went to a restaurant and the food was great, we probably won't offend them, even if they hated the restaurant. So maybe that's the thing. But the thing is, we want to share these things. We should want to share these experiences in our life. And do we choose ourselves sometimes over Yeshua and the Father? In other words, choose ourselves. In other words, but my schedule doesn't allow me. But I have these things in our lives that I like to do, and maybe I'll have to give them up. I want to do this, this, and this in my life. I enjoy it. I don't want to give that self, those things up. Maybe there are things, if we have changes in our lives, that we're going to have to give up. So do we love ourselves more than we love God and more than we love Yeshua? Or do we love ourselves more than spreading the light of God and Messiah? When asked the greatest commandment, Yeshua answered from the Torah. We've seen it so many times. I'm going to pop it up one more time, actually the verses. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Yeshua said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, he was asked by someone who was actually, usually the translations say he was a lawyer. What it was, he was someone who knew the commandments. He knew the Torah. Not that he was a lawyer, but he was someone that knew the law, that knew the Torah. Maybe he was an expert at the Torah. Maybe he was one of the leaders. Maybe he was one of the rabbis of the day. Maybe he was one of the leaders in the Pharisees, we don't know, but he was someone that knew the Torah and he knew the commandments of God, and he was testing Yeshua. Okay, Yeshua, tell me, what's the greatest commandment? And this was his answer. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. He was asked the question, and he answered the question. However, and Yeshua didn't need to do this, he went on. And this is how he went on. 39 and 40. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the prophets. He was telling him the entire Tanakh. On the entire Tanakh, it's whittled down to these two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God and love people. It was about love. These are the two commandments because it was about God. Actually, so the greatest tool that we have in our lives in spreading the good news of Yeshua, in telling people about God the Father, the greatest tool that we have is love. Because that is the greatest way that we can communicate with other people. And we are commanded to love other people. And sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do, because sometimes we just don't have good relationships with people. However, love is the greatest tool that we have. And there are some people that do get offended by what we're saying, and by the things they might have to change in their lives. But the thing is, if we show them some love, and I'm not talking smothering them with love, but if we show them a little love and compassion sometimes, it disarms them. It disarms them. Diana had the situation the other day with a woman, and she brought her mom to a doctor's office, and this has happened a while back. And she says the woman is always very curt and to the point, but she can be a little nasty and intimidating. And Diana said, you know what I did to her? I was just nice to her, and I gave her a kind word. I was nice to her. I said, you were probably nicer to her than most people are that come into the office. And she said, and you know what? All of a sudden, she was so nice to me. She's on the phone. She's nice to me. She helps me. And you know why? Because she was showing the woman a little love. It disarms people. They're not used to seeing that today. And I'm not talking about a phony baloney, smothering, ushy-gushy love. I'm talking about a sincere love, a concern, so that people see you care about people. And maybe not even them thinking it, but subconsciously, this is somehow maybe they're connecting and understanding that this is the way God wants us to be. To love him and to love other people. And so that disarms people by our acts of love and concernment. And even if they sense that you're telling them things that they don't like, and they may be a little bit offended about it, the love sometimes will cut right through. And again, I say disarms them. You know, maybe they have to reboot a little bit, you know, and maybe they'll just start listening with you and having a relationship with you a little bit different. So we need to keep on showing love. Let's keep on showing concern. Keep on spreading the light. The saying is, people say it all the time, I love you to death. I love you to death. We know what it means. But you know what? When we're out there, we need to love people into life. Because that's the answer. We want them to have life. We want them to have eternal life. We want them to experience the life that only God can give through Yeshua. And so this is what we need to do. Let's not be so concerned with offending people. Let's try to work in a way and showing love and concern in a way that maybe will cut down a little bit on the offenses, but through that all, there will be a little bit of listening, thinking about it, something in their heart will stir around. This is what's needed today. We don't know how long it's going to be before Yeshua returns. 2,000 years ago, they thought it was next week. Yesterday, we thought it was there. We're hoping it was next week. We don't know. We don't know how long it's going to be. But until he returns, let's just continue spreading the light of Yeshua in our lives and the love of God. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Amen.